Well, can I just tell you, it's been a privilege to be with you. Friday night and Saturday night, we did a marriage conference, and about 80-plus people attended, and marriages were transformed, lives were transformed, and we're just thrilled to be with you today. Now, some of you are probably thinking, oh, those are the marriage people, and you're not married, and it doesn't connect to you, and you're going, well, I don't want you to check out, okay? Check in. So here's where we're going today. In our time together, and we're just going to call it a talk, and we're going to pretend you're in our living room and we're just talking. So today, this morning, we're going to home in on a very select group of people in the audience today. And our very select group of people, where we're going today, our topic we're headed towards is aiming for people that have relationships with other people. And some of you are going, well, leaves me out, thank you. But I hope you go with us this morning. And our prayer is that this is just not another 9:30 worship on Sunday. I pray that you will allow Jesus to snuggle up real close to you, wherever in life you are, and allow him to whisper in your ear how much he loves you today. So go with us.
Let me just give you a little, like a Reader's Digest version of our story. Steve and I have been married 39 years, and when I married Steve, he was a minister. He was a youth minister, and we absolutely fell in love with one another and got married. And this was my thought. This really was my thought. I thought, if Steve and I love each other and we love Jesus, then that is going to equal to happily ever after. Like, we're never going to have problems, right? And little did I know that we were going to struggle. The problem was this. We had no tools. We had no resources. We had no one to turn to. Because I don't know about you, but we've been taught in church to really fake it well. And so we faked it and faked it and faked it, kept doing ministry. And then at the 12-year mark, I mean, we hit a wall where we had to make a choice. And can I tell you, we chose to stay. We chose to figure out how to fight for one another, how to work hard. We tried to figure out what not only a marriage is supposed to look like, but what did God intend for a marriage to look like? And so we've been married for 39 years, and we've worked through all of that. But let me say this to you. This was my attitude when we hit the 12-year mark.
And at the 12-year mark, she said, guys, she said, because I thought everything was doing, I thought we were doing fine. I thought everything was fine. She's not griping and nagging. Everything must be fine. But on the 12-year mark, she said, if this is what marriage is, I don't think I want it anymore. See, I'm a staff member. I've been on staff at churches for 30 years. I was a staff member then. And if I get a divorce, if she leaves me, I was in a Baptist church. And if we get a divorce, I'm going to lose my wife, I'm going to lose my kids, I'm going to lose my job. And so divorce wasn't an option. So we decided to stop putting the face on and faking it. And we decided to, you know what, we're going to figure out how to make this thing work.
So my attitude at that point really was this: God, if you can fix him, then maybe we'll make it. And little did I know, over 20 years ago, that God would hold a big old mirror in front of my face. And I had to deal with some stuff. I had to deal with what I had done to cause this relationship to disconnect from one another. And there's been some major scriptures in our life that have woken us up. And that's why it's our prayer for you today. Is I feel like sometimes, because I'm speaking from personal testimony, that we can get so used to coming and hearing scripture and walking out and doing nothing. And I think God's word is so powerful and so living that if we choose to get it, it can not only change us personally, but man, what could it do? Not only to our marriage, but to our children and to all the relationships that we have.
That's right.
So where we're going to go and where we're going to kind of plant this morning is in Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. Let me tell you how it starts out. This is Paul. He wrote these letters. He's talking to the church. And Paul starts out Ephesians 4 like this. This is what he says. He says, in light of all of this. Well, I don't know about you, but when you hear in light of all this, what's he talking about? Well, these are letters. So you got to go back and look back at what he said just a little bit before. So listen to what he said in Ephesians 3:17.
And this is our ministry life verse. In Ephesians 3:17, 18, 19, 20, it says this, and I pray, and Paul's saying, and I pray that you, church people, and I pray that you may have power along with the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is God's love for you, and to know this love, which passes all understanding. I don't know about you, but I don't understand it sometimes. To know this love, which passes all understanding, so that he could fill you to the fullness of the measure of God. I don't know about you, but I got leaks. Anybody in here got leaks? God fills me and I leak out. God fills me. And you know what? I got a God that loves filling his children.
So what Paul is saying in light of all this is, I need you, before you can do what I'm fixing to ask you to do, I need you to get that. I need you not to grasp that God loves your spouse or God loves your children. No, God loves you.
That's right.
No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, you've got to get that. And he said, and once you do get that, let me tell you what will happen. I'll fill you. I'll fill you so full you won't be empty. You won't be grabbing and asking for things to fill you. I'm enough.
That's right.
And once you get that, he said, now that you've got that, this is what I want you to do. Paul said, I want you to walk. No, no, no. Better yet, let's run down the path God has called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands or going down a path that's going to lead you absolutely nowhere.
Woo.
And mark that you do this path with humility and with discipline, not in fits and starts. So he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to steadily pour yourselves out in love for one another.
Yeah.
Be alert at noticing each other's differences and be quick at mending fences. Why? Because we were all called to travel down the same path, going the same direction.
Hello.
So stay together, both inwardly and outwardly. So have you grasped it?
So I pray that you may grasp. Have you grasped how wide and long and high and deep is God's love for you? Do you know how much God loves you? And you know what's happening right now in your mind? Satan's going, yeah, yeah, whoa, 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 yeah, but those Texas people, they don't have a clue who you are. They don't know what you've done. What's taking you out of the game? You were close to Jesus at one time. You were grasping it at one time. What's taking you out of the game? Divorce? Abortion? Bankruptcy? Drug abuse? Alcoholism? What's taking you out of the game?
Maybe what's taking you out of the game could be as simple as this. For me, I had an earthly father that didn't love well. When you have people on this earth that don't love you well, you think that's the way God looks at you.
Yeah.
So some of us in our lifetime love him, because how could we not? He deserves everything, our love and our devotion, but so many times we don't let him love us. And can I tell you, when you don't let him love you, you not only don't know how to love, but you can't receive love.
Can I give you a news flash?
Please do.
Can I 2x4 your forehead? Can I tattoo this on your life? God has not changed his mind about you. Hello? No matter what you've done, there's some things he doesn't like about us. Kind of like us as parents. But you, if you're a parent, you don't stop loving. God says, hey, I love you. I've changed my mind about you. I love you. We have 4.5 grandchildren. We got one in the oven. Can I just tell you, being a grandparent is awesome. We eat dessert first. Send them babies home full of sugar. It's awesome. But Hudson, he and I are tight. He's 5-year-old. And we hear them pull up in the driveway, and we hear the door open, and he goes, "Pops!"
And he comes a-running.
And man, he comes to me, and I grab him up, and I said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing? I hadn't seen you in an hour." Kind of like your dog when you come home, you know? But I hadn't seen him in a week or so, and he goes, "Hey, Pops, can I just tell you, whoo, that's Jesus' love for you. No matter what you've done or what road you've gone down or where you've done, when you come to the Father," he goes, "whoo, have you grasped it?"
Now, this is the deal.
Come on.
What are you doing with it?
Yeah.
Because Paul said, "I've got a path for you. What are you doing with it?" Can I tell you, sometimes we learn things from children, don't we? Sometimes the things they come up with are just startling. About 5 years ago, our oldest grandchild is 9 years old, Morgan Lily. And 5 years ago, we as a family were all at the beach for a family vacation. And I was in the kitchen one morning cooking breakfast, and Morgan Lily came in the kitchen. She is a sassy little thing, and I'm crazy about her. And so she walked in the kitchen. She calls me Dee Dee, which, can I tell you, that's the sweetest name besides Jesus. That's just what I think. But anyway, she walked in the kitchen with her little hands on her hips, and she said, "Dee Dee, do you know why I exist?" She's four. And I thought, oh my goodness. First of all, how does she know? And then I thought, okay, I've got to get this right. So I thought for a few minutes, and then I got down on her level, and I said, "Oh, Morgan Lily, I said, you exist for your Dee Dee to love you forever and ever." And she said, "No, Dee Dee." She said, "I exist to glorify God."
Whoa.
And can I tell you, I almost wept, because this was my thought. If she could get that at four, what in the world would she do for God in a lifetime? Guys, we haven't grasped it. I'm convinced we haven't grasped it, because we're not on a path. We're supposed to love God and love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then we're to love people. It's an overflow. But we're consumers. We take and take and take, which shows me we haven't grasped. And until you grasp, you're going to miss the path God's called you to follow. And that path has got to be filled with love. You've got to love well. You've got to embrace differences. Can I just tell on myself at that 12-year mark? We hit that wall. God put that mirror up in front of my face. The first thing he said to me was this. He said, "Debbie, you took huge expectations into your marriage." Remember when you got married? Did you not have expectations? The problem is you didn't talk about them. You just expected them. And so one of my biggest expectations when I married Steve was that he would be romantic.
We don't have time for this.
Now, the problem was he showed no signs of romance while we dated. Isn't that who we are? You know, like we think they're going to become something they're not when we marry them. So this is what romance looked like to me. This is what I wanted. I thought Steve would once every 3 weeks. Hey, if it was once every 3 months, I would have been a happy camper. But this is what I was hoping that he would do. I was hoping that one day he would call me in the middle of the day and he'd say, "Hey, babe," and we'd talk for a few minutes. And then he'd proceed to say something like this. "Hey, I'm sure you have dinner planned, but put it away. I have called and gotten a babysitter. I just want you dressed and ready to go at 6:30 because I am taking you on a date." That's what I wanted. Now, did I ever tell him that? Mm-mm. I just bought into, if he loves me, he'll know what I want, right? And then if I have to tell him, it won't mean the same.
Now, men,
I need he wants your help.
Help me, Jesus. Men, I need an amen after this. Not yet. Ladies, we cannot read your mind. That was pitiful. Ladies, we cannot read your mind. That's awesome.
And you know what I say? Well, can you try? Can't you just try?
No. Because about the time I get it read, it changes. That's a whole other marriage conference, can I tell you? Yeah.
So this is what happened. We hit that wall at the 12-year mark because I never got that phone call, okay? We hit the wall at the 12-year mark, and we were trying to work on marriage, and we're figuring out how to communicate and all that good stuff. And one day we were talking, and he got this smile on his face, and I looked at him, and I said, "What are you thinking?" He said, "I just need to ask you a question." I said, "Okay, what's the question?" He said, "Debbie, in those first 12 years of marriage," and he said, "Now, I don't want to go rehash all of it," but he said, "in those first 12 years of marriage, there were a lot of days that you were not happy with me. Because can I tell you what would happen when I dwelt on that day? If I dwelt all day long hoping I would get that phone call, this is what it ended up looking like. Steve would come bebopping in the house about 5:30, 6 o'clock. He's a happy camper. There's nothing wrong with him. He would come in the house and he'd go, "Hey." And I'd go, "Hey." And then he would say, "Something wrong?" And I'd go, "Nope." And I could punish him all night long for something he didn't even know he had done.
Amen.
So we never discussed it. So he says to me, "You were mad at me a lot. Tell me, Debbie, tell me what you wanted." And I thought, well, he hadn't figured it out yet. I guess I'm just going to have to tell him. So I said, "Steve, I just wanted you to be romantic." And I'll never forget his face. He went, "Debbie, me too. But what does that look like?" Now, guys, never once in that 12-plus years where I'm wanting everything for me, basically, never once did I stop and realize that no one exampled romance in Steve's life. Steve's mom and dad were married for a long, 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 long time, but it was not a happy marriage. Steve's dad did not romance his mom, so he had no one that taught him to do that. So he looked at me that day, and he said, "Debbie, I want to romance you, but you're going to have to help me." And I thought, okay, I'll help you. So this is what I told him that day. I said, "How about we do this? I said, how about every Friday you bring me home something that shows that you're thinking of me? Just a token that you're thinking of me." I said, "I'm not talking about flowers every Friday or diamonds." I said, "Just a token." He said, "Okay, got it." And I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to get a romantic husband.
It ain't good. It ain't good.
So the first Friday comes, and I kid you not, my expectations were kind of out the window. I mean, I've waited a long time for this. And so Steve walks in the house, and men, you know what you're like when you think you've done something good. Your chest is sticking out. And I'm telling you, Steve walked in the kitchen, his chest was sticking out. He had one hand behind his back, and this is what he does. He walks in the kitchen, and he goes, "Hey." Well, I just returned the favor. I went, "Hey." And he said, "I got you something." And I said, "What?" And he pulled from behind his back a Snicker bar.
Everybody loves Snickers.
You know what's funny about that now? Did you know that they now put your mood on the front of a Snicker bar? So maybe it really was for me. But the crazy thing was, I never mentioned that I liked Snicker bar. It wasn't like he put a whole lot of thought into this. But I was quick on my feet because I married a psychologist. And I would hear Steve, as we were raising our three children, he would make this statement a lot. He would say, "Debbie, we need to positively reinforce positive behavior." And so I was quick on my feet, and I remembered that statement. So I looked at him, and I said, "Thank you, baby." Kissed him on the cheek. He walked out of the kitchen thinking he was all that in a bucket of chicken, I think. And I remember opening a kitchen drawer and sticking that Snicker bar in the drawer and looking up and saying, "God, it's got to get better." So before I tell you about what I got the second Friday, I have to just tell you a little bit about who he is. He's not a risk taker by any means. So guess what I got on the second Friday? Another Snicker bar.
Hey, if it worked once, it'll work again. Thank you.
So let me tell you what happened at that point. I told him, I said, "You know what, we're kind of done with this."
Hey, do not laugh at that.
But let me tell you what God said to me that day. I don't know about you, but in my 60-plus years, God has broken me many, many times. And I got broken that day because what God said to me is, "Debbie, I need to remind you of something. You've spent 16-plus years dwelling on what he wasn't, that you totally lost sight of who he was. Don't we do that? Can I brag on him? He may not be romantic, but I'm going to tell you something. I'll take what he is over that. He is a faithful man, loyal, so loyal. He puts me first in everything. He is a great pops. He has been an incredible dad, but this is the most important thing. He has taken me to the throne of the Lord every day. And I think sometimes in our relationships, we don't love well because we're wanting something different. Guys, God knew exactly what you needed when he gave you this person he gave you. And if you quit fighting those differences and embrace them, man, what he can do. So you've got to love well. You've got to embrace differences. Paul went on to make a third statement, and we don't like this one, but Paul said you've got to be quick. He didn't say take your time. He said you got to be quick at mending fences.
You know what that means? That means forgive. How are you doing with forgiveness? Mending fences. We have a friend that has a ranch in Texas, and he has cows. And Mitch, we were leading a Bible study one day, and I said, Mitch, what would happen if at 2 o'clock in the morning, middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, your neighbor calls and says, hey, Mitch, your cows are out of the fence. Your fence is down. Your cows are out. What would you do, Mitch? Just go, you know what? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I am not getting up until morning, and I'll go take care of it. And he looked at me like, you stupid city kid. He said, Steve, I get out of the bed immediately. I go find out where the fence was down. I get my cows back in the fence. I mend the fence. I said, well, why do you do that? He says, because if I don't, I will lose what is precious to me. Hello? Forgiveness, not forgiving, causes you to lose things that are precious to you. What would happen in your relationships, grandma and grandpa with your kids or your grandchildren? What would happen, mom and dad, single, high school student, middle school, college? What would happen in your relationship instead of focusing on the things that they're not doing, you focused on the things they were doing and you encouraged what they are?
Because aren't we in our homes high on criticism and low on affirmation? And then we wonder why people don't feel loved. And guys, it just takes a little effort. And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, I need you to love well. I need you to embrace differences. You've got to be quick at mending fences. Why? Because we were all called to travel down the same path, not different paths. And the only way you're going to travel down the same path is to do those things and to do them well. So this is the question as we pull this together. What is your excuse?
Early when I was in college, I had a behavior modification class from a biblical standpoint from my college. And the professor picked 9 students to be in class. And Dr. Miner had us meet in his office, and literally his office is about this big. He sat behind the desk, and 9 students sat around chairs. He gave us all a book to read and then come back and do an oral report on it. This kid read a book on positive reinforcement. He did the report. Dr. Miner says, what do y'all think about that? And I said, well, I think that's manipulation. I think if we're trying to manipulate, you're trying to manipulate somebody to become something that they're not. Through positive reinforcement. Dr. Miner sitting behind his desk in his chair. He stands up, he comes around, puts his finger on my nose, and he says, it is not your responsibility what they do with that positive reinforcement. If Jesus lives in your heart, he has called you to be an encourager. And he goes back and sits down in his chair, his desk, and I'm going, dude, you didn't have to come put your finger on my nose. And then this class, this day changed my life. Other than the day Jesus transformed my heart. Dr. Miner sat there for about 10 or 15 minutes, but it was probably about 5 seconds. Dr. Miner stands up and he comes around and sticks his finger on my nose again. And I'm going to say this slowly because I want you to get it. Dr. Miner puts his finger on my nose. He says, because he knew I grew up in an alcoholic home, an abusive mother. It was not a happy home. Dr. Miner puts his finger on my nose. He said, Steve, it is about time you stop blaming your today because of your yesterday. You know, my Bible says that, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation.
Aren't we grateful?
Hold on. Behold, all things become new. Old things are gone. Can I do that in my version? Therefore, if any man has accepted Christ, and you have allowed Jesus to transform your heart, and not just through a prayer, but he has transformed your life. When Jesus transformed your life, yesterday is gone, and I'm going to live in the freedom of today. And I know we're over time, but hold on. Watch this. Whew. Debbie and I, you ever watch The Biggest Loser, you know, TV program? They're doing the final workout. The final workout. This guy's on the treadmill. They're doing the final workout. Debbie and I are sitting on the couch eating ice cream going, yeah.
Kill him. Kill him.
This is awesome. Speed that baby up. Here we go. This guy's on the treadmill and the trainer's over here and he's on the treadmill and the trainer reaches over and speeds the thing up and the guy's going, he's starting to gripe and gripe and gripe and the more he gripes, the trainer speeds it up a little more and he's griping and griping, speeds it up a little more and he's almost ready to fall and about the time he's out of control, the trainer goes, bam! Slams his hand on the emergency stop of the treadmill and it goes, and the guy on the treadmill goes, what? What? And the trainer says this, nothing in your life will ever change until you run out of excuses. What's your excuse? Divorce, bankruptcy, abortion? What's your excuse? What's taking you out of the game? Can I scream at us on a Sunday morning? With love and grace and mercy, get back in the game. Senior adult, you're not done. There's some young couples that need your wisdom. Come on. High school student, walk in obedience to Jesus. Stop playing the game on Sunday and acting like whatever you're acting on the rest of the week. Business owner, be a man of integrity. Husbands and wives, love your kids well so that when your kids come home, they're going, whoa, what's gotten into mom? What's gotten in? Well, daddy loves mama. You know the greatest security you can give your children is the security that their daddy loves their mama. Whew. Stop playing the game because Jesus loves you more than you understand. And bad things have happened so that you can share Jesus with people that are going through the same
thing. We're not to be consumers. We're to be an overflow of what's been done for us. Come on. Let's go.
Come on.
Life's too short.
Will you pray with us? Maybe today at some time, sometime in your life you prayed a prayer, but nothing happened. Maybe today. You need to say, hey, Jesus, would you transform my life?
That's right.
Maybe today some of you are going, you know, I blame my whole life on yesterday. Mm. But maybe today you draw a line in the sand and say,
no more.
Enough's enough. Maybe today you go to the cross and say, Jesus, save my marriage, but let it start with me.
That's right.
Jesus, today, let us walk out of this room today by transformed because of the touch of Jesus on every area of our life. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen.
Bless y'all.